We had our Mangria commercial go national. I got a couple stand-up stories, and Dude Bugs and I worked on and shot some MMA fights. Amateur MMA fights. Live at 405. I know I've been talking about it forever, but our Mangria commercial aired. Pretty fucking cool Friday night. Since the Murphs were the only ones I know with cable, they were kind enough, Chelsea and Scotty, to have us over, have me over. I don't think anyone else showed up. To watch it live. Because that's how you want to see it. He said he could DVR it, but, you know, I want to watch it actually, you know, air. So, they're not the Murphs. They're just goddamn good people. You come, they cook the fucking steak. And come over, have a drink, have a fucking steak, and cook, and fucking, they're just great. Those goddamn Midwesterners, I'm telling you, they know how to fucking just open their goddamn house to you. I'm trying to make a right here in Washington and Lincoln, and it's a motherfucker. Motherfuckers. It's Monday night. It's the Monday before Thanksgiving, which is Thursday. So today's Monday, so Wednesday I'm going to fucking fly down to Florida, so I'm trying to squeeze an episode out here before I go. Hopefully, I got enough stuff to talk about. Oh, Lord. I listened back to my last one. I burp into the mic a lot. I got to stop doing that because this makes me sound like a jerk off. So, sorry. I just fucking burped in your ear. Come on, guy. I don't really want to go down. I feel so bad saying it because it's my mom. I'll get back to the Mangria story in a second. I mean, you know, there's not a ton to it, but I'll just give the quick final summation. It's my mom. I fucking love the old broad. But there's just nothing to do down there, man. It's just, I know, I've complained about this. If you know me, I've talked about this for years, and I've said it on Looking Good Radio, my other show. But hang on. I just slept in the back of a Vons, took a nap, and I'm on my way to the gym, so I just bought a Monster. I'm going to drink a Monster. Probably eat a fucking energy bar. Metrics. Cookies and cream Metrics. Best goddamn protein bar out there. It's delicious. Don't even fucking start eating because you'll be hooked. I eat like 4 a week. Wow, this girl's pretty. What's up, girl? Shit. I don't like going down there, man. It's my mom is married to this old retired engineer. You know, as the years tick on, he's the least worst part of it. He used to be the worst because, like, he didn't get my sense of humor. And, like, just didn't really... I think it took him a couple years to get me. I know I'm a fucking weird dude and stuff, but he really likes all my dumb weird fellas videos and shit. And, he kind of grew on me, so he's all right. I could actually just kind of talk to him. But just my mom, she's just a simple lady. You know, I've just said it many times. She was born to be a mom. She was just Marge Simpson turned into a fucking real person. Honest to God, she is just like... She's like Marge Simpson down with fucking tea, everything. She even says some of the same shit as her. It's kind of creepy. But West Palm Beach is just a big, basically, retirement community for rich people. I mean, as soon as you get off the plane into the airport, just the wall designs they have looks like an old guy's carpet. And it's just not very visually stimulating. You're just like, oh, my God. It just feels like you're walking into a giant fucking old folks home. It's awful. And there's just not a hell of a lot to do. I think we're supposed to go to, like, Miami, which is a couple hours away. But it's like... With my mom, you know, my fucking 65-year-old mom and the new rich white dad, as he's come to have been found out. He's not really rich, but he's, you know, he's all right. Like, I'm going to Miami with, like, some bros or something and get some fucking... Not that I'm going to get fucking laid, you know me. Jesus Christ. But, you know, I want to go fucking go party, and I can't... Whatever. I'm sure it'll be... Make the most of it. I might try and squeeze out a stand-up spot. I did some recon, and there's a couple places in Boca... Which is, I guess, about a half hour away. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll fucking pull that off. But I'm going to miss the fucking... Again, speaking of the Murphys, I mean, these son of a bitches, every year they have Thanksgiving. They can fucking cook, these Midwesterners. Just the fucking potatoes and... Oh, my God. I can't even fucking think about it. Like, my mom's... You know, she's decent, but no one's near. These son of a bitches know what they're doing. Every fucking year, I can't wait. So, I'm hoping they save... Scotty, if you're listening, save some leftovers and we'll have Thanksgiving too. Maybe we can bring them over to fucking our place and have Thanksgiving too over at the fucking the fucking depression factory that is me and Brandon's apartment. But so yeah, going on to Florida, I should have some great stories. My brother won't even be there. It'll just be my sister who never really talks. And my mom, and I don't know. Should be quote-unquote interesting. At least Janelle Piccolo's down there from high school, my friend. That I've known for years and years. She lives 5 minutes from my mom, so I usually hang out with her a couple times and fucking drink too much and feel like shit the next day. But so that's the story. So anyways, Velocity Network, they show Adam Carolla's Paul Newman documentary. They showed our commercial. I think I already talked about this. Now, we had to cut it down to a 15-second spot, which was originally cut down from three 30-second spots. Now, two of these spots, you can see them on our if you're... I'm sorry, I'm obligated to say if I have any new listeners, you can see this thing on our Fun Your Die page, funyourdie.com/weirdfellas. Check the Mangria commercial. It's still one of my favorite things we ever shot. I mean, so it looks so fucking good. And it's just funny, and everyone was so good in it. All the actors and shit were just... It was really good. Adam loved them. But they wanted, like, one clean spot. The middle spot that we did, that they used most of the shots from for this new cut, they could have showed. I don't know why they couldn't. I mean, the last two are kind of offensive or whatever, but this middle spot was totally... It was air-friendly. All they would have had to probably do is change the... We used Ain't Talking About Love from Van Halen as a song, so we just would have fucking changed that to, like, some, I don't know, you know, some whatchamacallit, royalty-free music, but now, this wouldn't have bothered me too bad, except the only other people that made, listen, I'm fucking, it was really cool, it aired a shitload of times, it was on a lot. Emily from the commercial got fucking national TV exposure, she was freaking out, and everyone was, like, her Facebook page, everyone was going nuts, and, like, that was great. I'm glad she got the exposure. But, you know, again, bummer she got no money, but whatever. These other guys, the only other... Now, we make this Mangria commercial. No one's ever made one before. This is Adam Carolla's wine, Mangria, which is fucking good. I love it. I don't know. It'll fuck you up, too. It's strong. We make this video, and no one in history... I mean, the wine's, what, 2-3 years old? And, like, the week... We're going to put it out like someone beats us to the commercial. Some other guys made one too. This is spec. I don't know if you guys don't know what this means. It's a spec commercial. You make it and you hope somebody buys it. Or you make it and it's part of your resume, you know, and part of your reel. And then you go to real companies and you say, look at this. We can make commercials. Why don't you pay us, you know, to make one for you? Because we have an original slant and we're a good production team and we'll make something good looking for you. You know, kind of like Mad Men. But, this other one wasn't good, wasn't very original. I guess we found out by hook, I think that somehow got slipped to Dude Bogues. The people that made it were friends of Adam's, or they worked for actual Mangria, or worked for, I don't know, but they had some kind of, you know, they had some connection to me. So what am I going to do? I got to put the commercial on. So that one aired, and they sucked. And I'm like, why? They got to air their whole... Now, granted, we got a whole bunch more spots. I only saw theirs once or twice. I saw ours a plethora of times. And I wish I hadn't seen it, because I was really bummed that these fucking guys got to cap their, sorry, in my opinion, subpar commercial, and we had to cut ours down to just a beauty shot. Why the fuck couldn't we keep our whole 30-second shot, you know, and have everybody in it? That would have been awesome. But either way... Whatever, I guess I can't complain. That's a great resume booster, national commercial. So, the cut down one is on our dumb page too. The 15-second one, if you wanted to see what I'm talking about. But as Nate kept saying, the guy, you know, put it out, I was like, yeah, good, clean spot, nice, clean. And I was like, yeah, it was, but it doesn't really show. Like, I'm using this term loosely. Talents doesn't really show what we're about. Just a bunch of beauty shots and a fucking hot chick, like. Great, whatever. It's not sour grapes. I'm bummed that those other guys got to show their shitty commercial and we didn't get to show our full spot with everybody in it. But that's that. That was Friday night. Yeah, we drank and fucking, yeah, those goddamn Murphys, they're great. Saturday morning, no, this is a different morning. It was, whatever, long story short, I go to get breakfast down the street real early. There's a place called, this is one of the places that set off my rant about Mexican restaurants last week. If you heard last week's episode, that they don't take great pride in their food, really. And most of them stink, and they just don't give a shit, and their service and their food fucking sucks. This is one of the fucking main purveyors of this, okay? Now, I know you're saying, well, you know, Luke, why you complain about the restaurant? Why don't you go back there? Why would you buy your food from the place that you complain about? Because it's right down the street, and when they do get it right, it's kind of like fucking, you know, Russian roulette. It, like, when they get it right, it's... I'm not even going to say... I'm not going to say great. It's good, and it's not that expensive, and it's close. You know? And like I said, like, how do you fuck up breakfast? But this place manages too often. So, it's like 7:30, 8 in the morning, and I call it in, and I go in to pick it up. So, it's at the corner of, like, Whitsett and Riverside over in the valley. It's okay. It's a good enough area, you know, decent, not bad. Decent, you know, not bad, not a lot of gangs. And, LA is just a thing. There's just fucking homeless people everywhere, except for, like, you know, I don't know, maybe Beverly Hills, but, like, up in the hills and shit. But, like, down where, like, the common folk are, there's just fucking homeless people everywhere. And, I fucking go in to pick up my food. Now, it's in this kind of little strip mall plaza. There's a couple places or whatever that aren't open. And outside of this place, Diego's, where I'm getting my food, there's a little fucking... Sirens coming? There's a patio with a couple bikes and shit on it. I don't know who's there. And there's this fucking dude, like... He was obviously a homeless guy. He's like a white dude, kind of like a buzz cut. Like a little shit. He had very midgety features. He looked like a... Like a midget that... Like a midget that grew up. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, except he looked like a big midget. Okay, he looked like a fucking punk. The guy just looked like an asshole. He had, like, sweatpants on, some shitty t-shirt. You know, just kind of looked like trouble. But, so the only person in this place is, like, just the cook. Because it's just open or whatever, and there's no cashier or anything. The guy's either in the kitchen or at the register. And, it's cool. The guy has, like, a Jurassic Park Jeep. Like, replica Jeep in front of me. Well, wow, this traffic's bad. So I'm waiting for my food, and I see the guy going to ring me up, and he goes, "Oh, you motherfucker, oh!" And he runs back in the kitchen and goes running around, and while I was standing there, this little homeless guy just walked over and grabbed the guy's bike, this cook. And he's like, "Get back, you motherfucker!" And the guy goes taking off on the bike. So the Mexican guy goes running out the door, chases him, and, like, I couldn't see, so I ran over to the door to see what was going to happen. By the time I got there, the guy, I don't know if he tackled him, or if the guy just fucking dropped the bike and gave up because he was just a lazy bum stoner and didn't want to fight. And probably knew this little Mexican guy was going to kick his ass. And he just... And I was like, what the fuck are you trying to steal? He goes, that motherfucker tried to... I don't know why I can't do a Mexican accent. He's like, hey, that motherfucker tries to steal my bike every day. He's like, he comes here, grabs my bike and tries to ride away. And I'm like, this guy tries to steal your bike every single day? He's like, I'm like, what am I in a fucking Spike Lee movie? What is going on here? It was fucking hilarious. The guy was, like, so wound up, like, his hands were shaking. He couldn't even, like... push the buttons on the fucking cash register, and just, motherfucker, oh, he's trying to steal my bike every day, this scumbag, and you see, he tried to steal the bread. So there's, like, a little bakery a couple doors down, and every morning somebody comes and, like, leaves him fresh little things of, like, bread, and the guy tried to take a bread. I'm like, what a fucking scumbag. But, like, I was hoping they got into it, because for better or for worse, that Diego's kind of like my fucking neighborhood little place, and if they would have got into it, I would have fucking killed that guy, or I would have held that bum so this little Mexican guy could just, like, just go to town and start punching this dude in the ribs and shit, you know? Give him the old 1-2, Dookaroo, you know what I mean? But that was hilarious. That was like the bicycle thief of fucking Valley Village. Only not nearly as romantic as the fucking Visconti movie, or whoever. Who directed that bicycle thief? That was Marinara. What the fuck was his name? I can't drink too much of this monster. I drink a half a can at a time. Because I already had two big coffees today. And if you know me, I got anxiety problems, and caffeine severely aggravates it, so I gotta watch it. I'll have a half can. Speaking of which, I went to, I'll jump ahead just for a second. Everyone loves these, especially Scott loves these stories, but I have a problem getting my hair cut. I have haircut anxiety. I don't know where this came from or what. I don't want to go through the whole thing, because I've talked about it on my other show, and people are probably tired of hearing about it, but I'm not going to get my hair cut, long story short. I know it's bizarre. Don't ask me. It's just, I'm fucked up in the head. Sunday morning, I get up, you know, early, got up like 9 or something, and I'm like, I want to get my fucking hair cut. There's a Supercuts right by my apartment, and like a fucking block away, that I totally forgot was there, and I just noticed the other day. I'm like, I'm going to go there first thing. No one's going to get up getting their hair cut at 9 a.m. Get there at 10 to 9. Four guys are in there already. four fucking guys waiting to get their haircut. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I drive up to Floyd's, the punk rock type barbershop, which I like a lot. They're expensive, so I try not to go there, but I like that place for whatever reason. I drive up to that one, Studio City, right? Four fucking people waiting for that one. Now it's like 9:30. I'm like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Now I had to be somewhere by 3. I drive. So then I'm like, no, I'm not giving up. I am not fucking waiting in line. Now it became about the principle. I didn't give a shit if I had to drive to fucking La Cunada to get my haircut. I'm like, I am not waiting. This is for my principles on an early Sunday morning. I should not have to wait. I'm a fancy man. I take Burbank all the way fucking down. Now I'm heading towards like Sherman Oaks because there's a Supercuts that way. That one's fucking got like 4 people in it. I'm like, mother fuck you. So I keep going. Now I drive to, now I'm like, I'm going for Floyd's. I'm going for my home base, my easiest to get haircut place, and anywhere I know of in LA where I have the, you know, I'm the most fucking chill. The Floyd's over in Tarzana now. Tarzana. This is fucking 10, this is like 8 miles away from my house now. It has a giant, amazing Karate Kid mural painted on the side of the building. It's fucking rad. I think I got pictures of it to my Instagram and shit. But I get there, nobody inside. I'm like, fuck yes. Because there's, I don't know what it is, but there's no one ever at this place because I usually go, and it's right across from where I work out. Most of which is actually where I'm driving right now. And it's, you know. And it's like right down the fucking street, across the street. And there's no one ever in this goddamn place. I swear, there's always ever like one person waiting. I don't know why. I don't know how the demo breaks down, but there's like no one there. So there's no one there this time. I'm like, sweet, this is worth the drive. I get to the door. For some goddamn reason, this one opens at 11 a.m. Everywhere else, all the other Floyds and Supercuts that I looked at opened at 9. So I didn't even bother to check. I'm like, well, it's got to be the same. No, they open at 11. I'm like, it's 10. I'm like, fuck, I'm not waiting an hour. So I start driving back, and I'm taking Ventura, and I forgot there's a Supercuts in, Jesus, a fucking ambulance. Ambulance got a chance. In a hearse, got to be worse. Remember that? Nothing but trouble. This ambulance is in the goddamn, I'm on the fucking thick of the 405 here, and it's in the friggin' carpool lane, trying to get everyone to move. Well, I feel bad for anybody in the back of that fucking thing. That thing's going nowhere fast. Well, you're probably going to hear about 10 more whoops on here, so sorry. I forget this is a super, so I drive past another one. No one's in it. I'm like, fuck yeah. So I go in. So this is like almost an hour and a half of trying to find somewhere to get my fucking haircut. And, you know, I gotta say, I'm sure you guys will be thrilled to hear this. It was one of the easiest haircut of 2015. I had not even a stitch of anxiety. I felt great. Got my haircut, relaxed. The only problem is, this is why I hate this one too. It's. I've been going to this one since I lived in LA because I used to live way closer to this Supercuts. They have this like cabal of, I don't know what they are. I don't know if they're Middle Eastern. I don't know if they're, I mean, I can't tell what they are, but they're foreign and they have a thick accent, and they always ask my name, and then they call me Luck for the whole thing. How are you doing, Luck? I said it's Luke. I don't have to give you Luck. I'm not a leprechaun. Cut my hair and shut up. So I tell her how I want it. The whole time she's telling me about this fucking shampoo. She's going, I was like the metrosexual minute. She's telling me about this shampoo that I should use for my hair because you have a fine hair. You have a fine hair, like a baby. You have a little baby hair. You see how thin your hair is? I'm like, yes, I do. Or no, not nothing, fine. She's like, fine, like a rabbit fur. I'm like, I know, lady. I fucking wash it every day. And you know, the older I get, the greasier my fucking hair gets, too. And she's like, you put a product. What do you put in your hair? I get asked that all the time. I'm like, I don't put anything in my hair. If I wash my hair within fucking 25 minutes, my fucking Italian fucking grease and oil. Now, what is this now? The fire trucks? The fire trucks that aren't needed? Let me guess. The hook and ladder company? You know what happened fucking today? I'm driving down the fucking street. And like, there is such a goddamn production. Hook and ladder trucks, all kinds of fucking fireman vehicles and shit. And there was a guy on the street, and there was like one car that hit a curb. I don't know what the fuck. Listen to this shit. Oh, this is great. This is great for audio. I love when the cops yell at people, the old people that don't know how to get out of the way. And the cop's like, get the fuck out of the way. Move your fucking car. And then like the car start going right back. Not that way, the other way. They start yelling at them like they're fucking Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. Don't pull my fucking hand. What side was that pile? And they just fucking slap the side of your car and shit. They get pissed off. Anyways, what was I talking about? Haircut, my hair. Yeah, so she's like, you have a fine hair. And then she's like, if you use a product in your hair. Now, she hasn't asked me about, this is, I don't know, is this a national thing? Is this LA? No one asked you. They just proclaim themselves done with, like, silently done with your hair. They don't, you're the paying customer. They don't check and ask, how's this? Do you like this length? Is that it? Because I always want them to go a little shorter. Because I say, as short as you can get it with your fingers is what I usually tell them. But, like, it never really is. And you can always, like, do a little shorter, and they never fucking do. And, like, this lady just decides to just, she goes, now, when you use a product, you use this. You want to use this kind of gel. You see this number here? Paul Mitchell number 2? I'm like, yeah, okay. And she just grabs it and just mushes it in my fucking hair. I'm like, I didn't ask you for any product to go in there, number one. Number two, were you going to even ask me if I was okay with the fucking length before you mashed a bunch of fucking cum in my hair? So, no, she just did. I go, well, I guess haircut over. Because you fucking proclaimed it, fucking Cruella de Vil, you motherfucker. So, my hair is the length it is now, because I had no say in it, even though I fucking paid. And I tipped her $5, I should have tipped her fucking $3. Fucking dummy. Go back to whatever fucking stupid country you're from. They probably fucking blew your house up. I'm sorry, that wasn't necessary. I don't, you know. Maybe you were rich in your old country. How do I know? I want to break into this metrics bar. Hang on a second, guys. Bear with me. Oh, this fucking, God, is this traffic going... What dummy fucked up now? What bullshit do I have to sit through? Some fucking retard couldn't drive. Some fucking dumb broad probably rear-ended somebody. Because she was fucking taking a selfie or some fucking crap. There's probably 9 fire trucks there. I'm telling you, in the 10 years I've been in LA, I was just telling somebody. Oh, yeah, I was complaining to a bunch of the dudes at fucking Pinge, at my bowling alley I work at the other day. I'm like, in 10 years... You know, the amount of fucking fire trucks, I've probably seen 500, maybe twice ever did I see any smoke or a fire where these fucking things should have been in. Why is there always it could be a fucking guy has heartburn. They send a goddamn hook and ladder truck, an ambulance, what is with the fire truck, especially in this city where it's this congested and fucked up? Wouldn't you not send a fire truck unless it was fucking absolutely necessary? I don't fucking get it. And I had to sit in it today, and I was like, there was no, I'm like, let's see where the not fire is this time. And I drive by, I'm like, yep, of course. All you need was an ambulance and a fucking cop car. There was nothing even, the guy didn't have a fucking cigarette. There was nothing resembling smoke anywhere. Yeah, I'm taking a bite of this fucking thing. But, I tell a story, I just go on this whole rant. I'm like, I've never seen the fucking things at a fire. And you understand, because, I don't know, these kids are like 20 or whatever, and the dude's like, How many fires have you ever actually seen? I was like, what? He's like, I don't know. You said you see the fire trucks all the time, but like, how many fires have you seen? I'm like, I don't know, dick. That wasn't the fucking point. Can you hang with me? Be a fucking man, will you? Don't smack him in the face. Oh, yeah, and then last week when I was telling that story about Fat Mia, who I asked out on accident, she was there all day Saturday. I just avoided her. I didn't say a fucking word. I've never talked to that girl anyways, but I asked her out by mistake. It's the wrong person. Hang on, I'm taking another bite. Sorry. I want to go to that fucking gym. Just hit the ground running and fucking tear it up. I'm going to do those fucking T-bar rows and shit. I'm going to do the fucking lat pull down. I'm going to fucking kill it, man. I'm wound up. Fucking wound up. I'm staying hungry and staying horny. Okay, now listen. The stay horny thing. I got something to say about that. Now, I'm ashamed of this. What do you want, man? I'm human, okay? All right, everybody get ready to groan, right? I'm going to get a flood of texts for this, insulting me. But the slob hit me up, like, Thursday. I haven't talked to this woman. You know, the slob, the famous slob. This is a girl I've been fucking on and off for 5 years. And I can't stand her, and she wants to be my girlfriend. And I won't let her. And we finally stopped talking when she knew I was seeing another girl. And dedicated the rest of her Instagram to making memes and shit about me. Or like, you know, ones about other people that were obviously pointed at me. She sends me this whole thing. She's like, listen, I don't want to be your girlfriend. And I know you're never going to date me. It's never going to work. And it's never going to be what I want. So like, I still just want to be friends. And I just miss just talking to you. And I don't care what you do. And you're telling me free. And you're nothing to do. And I'm like, I know. Yeah, I know. Why are you telling me? Like, I have told you this myself many times. So I don't know why. It's always the same thing. Because we've had, like, I don't know, 4 of these now. These blow-ups or whatever. But I'm telling you, from the depths of my soul, I don't care if she's gone. She hit me up. I never would have talked to her again. If she disappeared forever, I'd just be like, all right. Honest to God, I really wish she would find a dude, like a boyfriend. She said she dated two guys. See, and it just wasn't the same. I didn't like either of them. So basically, she's just giving me like the like VIP fuck buddy pass. Like, I don't care who you fuck. I'm not gonna say anything about it. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, we've had this fight before, and it always starts out this way. And then within a couple months, but I'm telling you, kind of like when people fucking die and have like a near death experience, and they see like their dead uncle or something, like they see the fucking tunnel in the light. The whole thing where I had a completely fucking clear plate, no women, no nothing, really fucking like stuck with me, because it just felt right. It just felt like fucking like I didn't have to worry about anything. And like I said, it made me a lot more creative and shit. So like, I don't want to go back to just having somebody I can fuck. Hang on. Pick around a bite. Sorry. I'm sorry. I gotta eat and do this. I don't, you know. You fucking busy man. I gotta go home and pack. I gotta do laundry and all this bullshit tonight. Long story short, she came over and fucked. Now, I haven't seen her in so long. She hadn't even seen my new apartment. When we moved in there fucking 2 or 3 months ago. Was it August? It's fucking Thanksgiving, you know. I hadn't seen her for months before that, but it's been a long time. But, yeah, fucking, I haven't talked to her since. That was Thursday night. But, like, I'm telling you, I don't mind being a little, I'm fucking horny now. I can fuck, you know. But, I'm not doing it. Because, I don't know. It was too good the other way. I don't want to go back to just having her. And I don't want to get too close to her. I don't want fucking anything to do with her. I just can't. I didn't even tell her. And she took it pretty good, because she usually breaks down pretty bad. She's like, I know. I'm like, I can't deal with you. I'm like, you're never going to be my girlfriend. We don't fucking get along. All you do is get annoyed, and you just constantly want attention from me. It's the only way you know how to do it. You're like my fucking grown-up my brother. That's the only way you knew how to get attention, was to fucking annoy, piss people off. You know? I'm just toxic. I don't fucking need it. I don't need it. I'm toxic enough. But speaking of which, I've been behind this giant tanker. It looks like a fucking one that you dump all the porta potties into for the last 3 miles that I'm going 2 miles an hour for. Why the fuck am I still? Get me away from this. I'm tired of looking at the same fucking truck. I wanted to buy books today because I'm not a great flyer. I need a lot of distractions. I need movies to watch. I need books to read. Like I said, I'm flying out Wednesday, but I don't like flying early. Now, my mom paid for the flight down there. She paid for half of me because she wanted to see me Thanksgiving. You know, I don't even fucking see my mom in 2 years. But she books the flight. The plane leaves at 7. Fuck, come on, Annie. The plane leaves at 7:30. It leaves at 7:30 a.m. That means you have to get up at 5. I am not. Listen, if I fly, any plane takes off after 9, I'm fine. Or afternoon, I'm fucking golden. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but if I have to wake up ass early to fly, I don't fucking fly well when I leave early. I hate it. I don't know, my body just can't adjust. I don't know, but I get super antsy. I don't like it. So I'm going to take a fucking Xanax this time, but I wanted to get a book. I went book shopping. And I wanted to get this book that Bill Burr was talking about last week called The Comedians, about the history. I thought it was an old book. I guess it's like brand new. About the history of like the last 100 years of comedy, about like all about these it's called like The Comedians, like a history of like liars, frauds, and drunks or something like that. It's just kind of like the underbelly of comedy and how it's developed from like fucking vaudeville till now. And it sounded pretty cool. I love shit like that. So I go to get it. It's like 30 fucking bucks. I'm like, shit. Of course, everything's fucking hardcover. You think with all these bookstores closing and the lack of people just reading nowadays because they're fucking distracted with electronic devices and all this bullshit, you'd think they'd cut the fucking price of books down, for Christ's sake. They're fucking more expensive than ever. I don't understand. So, I'm really sorry. I know I'm sorry to eat and talk, but, I go over to the fucking history section. This is at Barnes & Noble. This is where I'm going to work. Still a couple bookstores left. And there's like 15, like, I'm just looking at like the new releases, and there's all these fucking books about like Nixon. There was one that was like the Nixon tape, 71 to 70. Only a fucking old nerd like me, because just I'm just getting older and dorkier. I was like fucking hyperventilating. I'm like, I want to fucking read all this. All these crazy books about Reagan. All these rad, like, they had the Nixon tapes from 71 to like 74. All of them. Just transcribed into a book. And it looked like you were reading a giant play. It was all this thing between him and Kissinger. I'm like, oh, this is so fucking cool. I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm like more and more fascinated by Nixon. Ever since I went to that museum. We had a bagel. And I went there last year with Cam, I think. Was that 2 years ago? Fuck, was that? That might have been 2 years ago already. But anyways, the Nixon library is fucking really cool. And I don't know. He was just such a fucking interesting. He's such a polarizing figure. Nixon did a pretty goddamn good job. Besides the Watergate shit and everything, obviously. As far as his foreign policy, I mean, he was like one of the best fucking guys we ever had. Like, he really mended a lot of fucking fences after the Cold War and really made real fucking strides in like diplomacy and shit, the U.S. and all these other countries, you know, China and everything. It's good like that. I'll give him that much. But I am not a crook. And I want them to know their president in chief is not a crook. But anyway, a whole bunch of shit. So they had this one. It was fucking, oh, I'm just fucking fan. I love Hoffa. I'm crazy about Jimmy Hoffa. Ever since I saw that movie Hoffa in seventh grade, it became one of my all-time favorite movies. I just love everything about this fucking guy. And it was like a new book. It's like Kennedy versus Hoffa, just called Vendetta. Because they fucking hated each other. And this one was like $30 too. I'm like, fuck! I just don't have the money. Like, I get paid, but not until like the end of the fucking week. So I need like money to get down there, because my bet, you know, to fucking check in your suitcases, which is one of the biggest scams of my fucking lifetime. That all of a sudden you have to pay for bags. This is, I of all the things and hypocrisies of the world that people can complain about, I can't fathom how the airline industry is constantly in trouble, constantly needs bailouts. Who ever stop flying? Who doesn't fly? Every fucking single flight you ever get on, ever. We have a very full flight. Please get in your seat. It's always a very full flight, or it's overbooked. They can't even accommodate the amount of travelers. How are you having any problems? There's never, it's just a constant fucking stream of cash from everybody. It's expensive as fuck. Then they make you fucking pay for your, check your fucking bags. They didn't make you fucking pay for your bags for the first 90 years of aviation. And then 1 year, everyone's just like, yeah, now it's $25 or $30 to check your fucking suitcase. Like, what? I just paid fucking $900 for a fucking ticket, and you can't even fucking put my bag on your fucking vehicle? You fucking pieces of shit. So, like, I just didn't have the fucking money to spend. And I can't travel with my favorite backpack. This thing was so cool. It fit my computer. It was perfect. And those motherfuckers that broke into my car took my fucking backpack. I love that thing. And that's at fucking Target. I could buy that. That's $40. I'm like, I'm so pissed. So I got to figure that out. But anyways, I wanted that goddamn Kennedy vs. Hoffa book, but I couldn't get it. So I got I got Badasses of the Old West. That's the name of the book. Because it was on that clearance rack for like $10. But I love dumb shit like that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll read it and have some fucking, I'll have some stupid, boring cowboy fucking stories I'm fascinated by and no one else probably fucking wants to hear. You know. I'm almost done with candy bar, so you won't have to hear me. I mean, yeah, candy bar. It's metric bar, so you won't have to hear me chew up much longer. I'm sorry. I don't need to talk about that book part. I shouldn't have. No, that really went nowhere. And there was fucking, honestly, no reason to even tell that, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. Remember when Ima said that after that nappy headed host thing and he got in trouble? Okay. Haircuts. Saturday night. No, work. Get out of work. I want to do stand up with my man Travis from Alaska. At Travis Corkery on Twitter, if you want to follow the big fella. And we went to West Side over there. I was pretty psyched because I wrote about a whole new 4 minutes. And it went in order of, I mean, I didn't do this on purpose, but it was, I was super psyched about the, I knew the opener was going to do well because there's some physical comedy involved finally. I know how much I complain about that, but what the fuck, I've never really done it. I mean, there's a couple things in it that involve me like kind of running around on stage. About like how I, I look rapey, and women are, if I'm in a dark parking lot at night at a grocery store, women are fucking terrified of me for no reason. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's the bit. But again, this poor bastard, he doesn't get fucking called. I get called. And I think it was like four bits. And they went in like order of goodness. I knew the first one was going to do really good. Second one, I didn't know. Third one, I was like, eh. The last one, I was like, no. And that's pretty much how it worked out. Which sucks, because I got the light at, like, what is it? I think you get three and you get the light at two. That's fucking, it's not enough goddamn time. I got to start doing real shows. Because, I mean, this is like just a thing. Like, you do open mics. If all you do is open mics, you're not getting a real, you could be writing really funny shit and not know it. I probably had a whole bunch of bits that were way better than I think they were. That would do great at a real show with real people that came to see an actual comedy show. Like, anyone listening to me, anyone, even if you're only doing stand-up for fucking 3 months, if you got your best shit together to a show, it would probably do pretty good with a normal audience. They're like so forgiving, and like they're like they like somebody said when I went backstage when I did that show weeks ago at LC in front of all those people, and I was like, I can't believe how well that went. And one of the guys went, they came to laugh. That's what he said. And I was like, fucking they did. That's the total difference. Like, they've come to a show to see comedy. Like, they're ready to laugh, you know. A couple drinks in them doesn't help. Or doesn't hurt either, you know. But, you know, it went okay. Travis didn't get called. So, I was going to start moving. I'm going to start moving my Uber. Which is great, because this brings me to really working 7 days a week. I think I'm going to start Ubering Sunday from, like, 9 to 5. Cause like I'm tired of not having this every night. It's way easier to do it the day you can see. It's just a little bit better. I did it like 2 weeks and I liked it. I'm like, all right, I'll do this for a while. Plus now I can start doing more. So I felt bad that Travis didn't get up, and I'm like, let's fucking do another spot. Let's go somewhere else. So this place opened right down the fucking street. It's basically at the corner. It's right next to like the bowling alley I work at. It's at Ventura and Whitsett, in Studio City, and it's. It's called World Comedy Studios. You can look this place up. It's like this just opened. It's like a multimedia space where you can do podcasts, and like their big selling point is you do stand up inside the place, but they live stream broadcast it around the world. So like at any given time, there's like 50 to 100 people actually watching you on like a live stream feed who do nothing but talk do nothing but talk shit about you while you're up. I find out, but we're looking for this place. It's like a dark alley and shit. It's in a weird fucking... It's right by like CBS fucking Radford Studio. What is with all the fucking police activity tonight? God almighty. It's like fucking World War Z. They're making a World War Z sequel. I think it's already in pre-production, which I loved World War. I really liked it. If you haven't seen World War Z, check it out. It's streaming on Netflix. And it's just like, I don't know. I could just watch that fucker over and over. I could fucking watch it tonight. I've seen it three fucking times. Even though it's not gory and stuff, I love how episodic it was. And I like how I like the global fucking spans of that movie. It was different for a zombie. You never see that. You never see the whole planet. It's always just like a town or something like that. And this is, they go everywhere. I just fucking love that. I thought it was so cool. I still remember when it ended. I could have watched a 4-hour cut of that movie. I'm like, this just could have kept going. And it seemed like it ended so fast. The ending stinks. I mean, it was famously plagued with a lot of production and script problems. And it just fucking kind of ends out of nowhere, and you're like, that's it? But it's still like, I liked it, so I'm psyched there's going to be a second one. I hope it's, I think Doug Liman might be making it. I don't know. But, anyways, how did I get on World War Z? Oh, yeah, traffic. Hang on, I'm going to go backwards. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, comedy. So we find this fucking place. It's really weird. And there's a dude walking out. And he's just kind of like, that's an interesting spot to us. And we're like, is this World Comedy Studios? He's like, yeah, I just did a set. And we're like, wow, what the fuck is going on here? Oh my God. There's like four fire trucks. I'm sure they're not needed. Hang on. Now this has my attention. Because there's just like a fucking huge production. There's cops and fucking fire trucks everywhere. And unfortunately for you guys, it's making this a longer show. Because I'm sitting in traffic longer. Yeah, as I suspected, there's not even a fucking puff of smoke. That fucking dumb magician smoke where you fucking throw the thing through your finger is more than anything that would have been right there. That was a dumb analogy. We go upstairs, and it looks like a doctor's office. There's like rooms, it's super lit up, and it's all like, you know, it looks like a fucking, like a doctor's office. And we're like, what the fuck? And there's like four people up there. And there's this really short, this guy looks like a fucking Hobbit character. And we're just like, what the fuck are we getting into? So the owner, the guy that runs the place, is like fucking super nice. Like, this guy was like the coolest. Like, so, hey guys, like, what are you doing? Like, introduce him. So he's like an older guy. He's probably like fucking 50 or something. But super friendly, like basically trying to sell the place to you. It's $5 to do a spot, whatever. A lot of people have issues. I don't really give a shit. The guy's got to keep the lights on. But he's like, yeah, you can come in here. And like, he's just super, like, really wants to get it out there and wants comics to come. And, like, the guy's, like, a big comedy fan. He's been doing stand-up for fucking, like, 20 years and all this kind of shit. So I was really interested. I've been seeing – he's been doing all over Facebook. Like, he's been – this place is open, so he's been pushing it like crazy. So I've seen all the details. And I was super fucking interested in the podcast studio that he's got in there because I miss doing that. And we see the room where we're going to be performing. It's the fucking size. It's like a broom closet. It's a, like, this place is nice. It's all like he did, all redid it. It's like a fucking redone apartment kind of thing. It's got new like floors and shit. But I mean, it's like a fucking, it's like a closet, and like you're crammed in this fucking room. And then he stands there with like a it looked like a selfie stick with like a phone that live broadcasts the thing. So it like what do you call it? Periscope. It periscopes it. But it's like Periscope's like brother on steroids. It's like some other, I think it's a live stream, whatever the fuck. So he showed us the thing. He's like, see, there's like 80 people watching from all over the world. And it piped in like this kid from England who's watching live. And he's sitting there, he's on a laptop. And just this kid's face on a laptop screen. He's like one of the audience members, like he was sitting there. It was a weird spot. He's like fucking Captain Pike from Star Trek almost. Me and Travis are like, oh boy, this is gonna be weird. So it's me, him, four other guys in this tiny ass room. This is where we're doing stand up. And I'm already like, if I was just starting out, if I was even my first, I mean, I'm only a fucking year and a half in, but if this is my first 5 months, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I'm like, there's no way. Cause like, it sounds stupid, but like, it's harder to do that. Like, I did that show a couple weeks ago and there was like over 100 people, whatever. It's harder to do this, like, super close with, like, three fucking people in a room than it is to do a big, giant room with a ton of people. I swear. At least for me. It's very... You're way too fucking close. It's too weird. It's super lit up. I mean, it looks like a fucking... I felt like I was, like, in a therapist's office. That's why I got up my... I was like, hi, my name is Luke. I'm an alcoholic. I'm like, I feel like I'm fucking doing a set in an AA meeting. This is terrible. Everyone looked like a fucking... It was like old miserable white dudes, like just or like college kids that were just a mess. But sorry. This is my last bite of this fucking bar. It's gone after this. Hang on. Sorry. I bit off too much. I bit off more than I can chew. Sorry, hang on, I'm all done. Alright, I'm just gonna talk. Fuck it. That's when I'm like, I've come a fucking pretty long way. I'm like, I can do that. And this is like five, you guys, like, you can go as long as you want. You can do like 8 minutes if you want. I'm like, no, fuck you. And I knew I couldn't do my new bit that I just wrote because I didn't have enough room to like run around and do the thing. I was like, shit, it was too small in there. But I'm telling you, if I reach my fucking arms out, I can almost touch the walls. This is ridiculous. It's almost just like a goof, but. Travis got up. He did pretty good. It doesn't get much harder than this. That's fucking really hard. It's a silent fucking room with like four guys sitting there. It's just weird. And like the worst part is you don't know where to. This is what I noticed, and this is what's always. It finally came together because this kind of environment. I mean, it would bother anybody, but it always really got to me. You don't know where to look. There's nowhere to look because there. I mean, I could like reach my finger out and touch the guy's nose in front of me. That's how close he is. And you look at them in the face, and they look away when you look at them, and it really fucking throws you. Like, don't look at me. Like, you know, you're not like you can't really engage with the fucking people. So I'm like, I guess I'm just kind of like looking the. But I felt weird looking at the back wall. I mean, I was getting to my own head. I'm like, they can't see where I'm looking. They don't give a shit where my eyes go. As long as I don't look at their eyes, they're fucking fine. So once I figured that out, I did good. The first minute and a half I was fucking nervous, and I was. Kind of stiff, and then I don't know. I just had a moment where I was like, just fucking tell your jokes. Just what are you gonna stand up here and be fucking nervous? Just fucking do your set, like just lighten up. And I just did. I just like got into it, and then I was like just fucking loosey goosey, and I was fine. It was just like I was talking to a bunch of dudes. It was so weird, but I was like, I've come a fucking come a long way. And, you know, because I almost quit for like 2 months. And because I was I just hit a wall from just making myself do it. I wasn't even doing it that much. I mean, 2-3 times a week or something. But I don't know. I just got fucking, I just woke up one day and was sick of it. I'm like, I don't want to fucking, and I was putting so much pressure on myself to get up and do it. Isn't this great to hear about this artist process? I bet you guys are just fucking riveted by this. I'm sorry to just fucking navel gaze like this. But I'm like, why am I making myself fucking do this? Like, it's supposed to be fun. So, like, I know how my brain works. And I'm like, brain, all right, I know you don't want to do this and you're not enjoying yourself. Let's just do it once a week. Or even every other week. Fuck it. Just don't stop. Don't, you know, just fucking get up and do it at least a little. So you stay in the rhythm. But it's just like, it's almost better. I'm almost like more relaxed. Even though I'm not doing it as much, which is odd. I don't like that. It's not good. It's good to do it a lot because that's how you get better. But at least I'm like not, I'm still in it. I'm still in the game. I'm not doing it as much as I should. And I'm mad at myself for not being a harder worker. But I can't help it. It's like artistic shit. And I just can't, if I can, I gotta, that's just how I'm wired. It's for better or for worse. It's fucked me up my whole life. But it's like, if I don't like doing it, it's really hard to make myself do stuff I don't like. The problem is, I don't like a lot of stuff. You know? So that was pretty interesting. He told me that I got a good, a lot of good feedback from the fucking world community. But, yeah, that was a weird night of, stand-up. But, whatever. What do I know? Sunday, now, jump backwards a second. I'm sitting in, West Side waiting to get called. Around fucking 7. Now, mind you, I was going to Uber the next day, Sunday 9 to 5. I get a text out of nowhere from Nate Adams, Adam Carolla's guy. He's like, can you come in tomorrow downtown at Nokia Center and help me shoot an amateur MMA fight, Octagon? And I'm like, oh, God. Because he shoots on C300s. For a guy that has worked renting cameras for most of the time I've been in Los Angeles, I know surprisingly little about him. I don't know how I'm still in this business and don't... I know the Alexas, the ones that we have at work, I don't know much about any of them. I don't know about 5D cameras. I don't know shit because I don't like shooting. I like the camera as a tool, but I don't need to know the ins and outs of the... It's a tool to be used... Not by me. It's like you don't build your own house. You hire contractors to come do it. And you're like, cool, look at my house being built. That's how I see it. Like, you're into cameras and lenses and camera shit. You come be the camera guy. And there's a billion of them, so I never have to worry about it. But I think he thinks... Now, I could preface all this by saying that this fucking guy... Because I'm associated with him, and he lets me... I come work for him. I do freebies and shit. I'm not trying to sound like some fucking right-hand man. But I do gigs with him and stuff because I'm trying to get in with those guys. So he hits me up all the time, but he's a busy, he's always got 9 million fucking things going on, so he never knows. So I think he thinks just because I rent these cameras, which is a fair assumption, that I just know how to use them and that I shoot. I don't think he realizes all my funny and eye shit that he sees and stuff. I haven't shot a frame of it. I don't fucking flip a switch on a camera at all. I just write the shitty jokes that get filmed. So I'm like, I just bullshit. I go, yeah, sure. And he's like, yeah, you know the C300? I'm like, I'm sure I'm going to crash course and learn. It doesn't seem that hard. I'm just like kind of fake it till you make it kind of shit. So then immediately I'm like, dude, Bogue shoots on the C300 all the time, and he loves to shoot. So I hit up Nate Adams, and I'm like, why don't you have Bogues come in? Because he met him when Bogues went in to do the Mangria spots, and Nate really liked him. Bogues is a likable guy, and he's personable. He said, yeah, sure, have him come in instead. And then I'm thinking, now... he has mentioned a few times that Nate's looking to produce some stuff, movies, TV shows, and is interested in working with us. So I was like, why don't I come in as kind of like an assistant capacity? Because now there's main camera guys. We're coming in to do the B-roll. So he has this whole list of B-roll shots of all the stuff going on backstage behind the scenes. They want to like fighters training in their dressing rooms and getting their hands wrapped. And coaches talking. He had a whole list. All this kind of shit. You know, just B-roll stuff that they cut away to. The main guys were in filming the actual ring. But I'm like, why don't I come in and I'll just be an extra set of hands and I'll help you guys. I'll help you, you know, whatever you need. because I wanted to see if he was going to talk to me and Dude Bogues about things. You know what I mean? Opportunity knocks. You answer the fucking door and hope it's not a fucking Moulinjan coming to fucking rob you. Fucking Moulinjans. But, so I'm like, yeah, I better get in there. Which, you know, stinks because I really could use the Uber money. In fact, if I Uber drove Sunday, I could have bought that fucking Kennedy Hoff book that I wanted so bad. Because it would probably been an extra $120 I made. But, whatever. This is a, you know, it's an opportunity. Fucking take it, asshole. You know, it's a producer you're going to work for. He's a fucking man that gets things done. He makes movies. Shit. So, Me and Dude Bogues go. We drive down to Nokia Center downtown. Absolute fucking shit show. Because next door to the Nokia Center, in the same, like, complex, they're shooting the AMAs, American Movie Awards. And there's a fucking Clippers game at the goddamn Staples Center, which is all, this is all in the same block. Parking is $40 to $60 on the street. We happen to find out that was $20. They're going to reimburse us for a parking, but still, we're just like, good Lord, what is this, fucking Times Square? Are you kidding me? We got to lug all this gear and shit. So, you know, we go in and we get set up and start shooting all this stuff. And so now Nate is flying in. This thing was like such a shit show. Like, luckily, Dude Bogues had the foresight to be like, I almost said foreskin. I swear to God. He goes, bring your fucking shock, the one I'm holding right now talking into. He's like, bring your mic, because this camera didn't come with one. I don't know if it has a built-in mic. It doesn't. It's a fucking ENG camera. So thank God I brought my phone. There wouldn't be any audio. They didn't think of any of this. They asked him to do this last minute, and then he asked us to do it last minute. And it turned out, he's like, when I said I was going to come and help, he goes, well, why don't you, he goes, you just like produce most of it, and I'll tell you what to do. And I was like, okay, shit. Basically turned the whole fucking thing over to us. I was like, wow, this guy fucking really trusts us and shit. You know, this is cool. Because he's flying in from, like, Washington and wasn't going to be the thing till late. So we had to, like, fucking take care of the whole thing for him. You know, us and there was, like, the A-camera crew, but, like, you know, we had a lot of shit to do. So, like, me and Dude Bogues are hanging out and shooting. And this is from, like, 4. It was supposed to be 4 to, like, 8:30. Ended up being 4 to, like, fucking 10. You know, it's my only fucking day off. And I didn't shoot a frame. Dude Bogues carried I felt so bad because, like, it's a pretty lightweight camera, but, like, just the way he had to fucking hold it all day. I mean, for, like, hours on end. And, like, every time he'd kind of, like, we'd be in between shots, he'd just do this thing where he had, like, exercise his arm because he was getting all crammed up. I'm like, God, I'm fucking sorry, man. And then I think back, I should have fucking learned the camera. What would it have hurt for me to grab the camera, fuck around, and learn it, learn all the settings? What would it be bad to learn how to shoot on a fucking camera? You fucking asshole. I was just kind of fucking off the whole time. What the fuck is wrong with me? Anyways, when the fight starts in a... It's this thing called U of MMA. It's like university. It's like, it's amateur MMA stuff. But there's like, there's some guys that are like, there's amateurs, but like by the end for like the main event things, there's guys that are like just not known yet, but they're still pro fighters. And like, we're filming this fucking thing. We are like, I mean, I could stick my finger through the fence in the octagon. I'm 3 feet away from these fucking dudes. And like, MMA, like, I'm not in any sports. As most of you know, at all. So I could not give a shit. I'm not in a competition. That's what it boils down. I don't care about competing. I don't care about... It doesn't bother me. I do things that I do to enjoy them. I don't care if someone else is better and there's a contest where someone... I don't give a fuck about people winning anything. I just don't give a shit, you know? That's not a good way to go through life, but I can't help it. That's the way the fucking Lord wired me. And, but, like, MMA stuff, like, I've gone to MMA... It's like a thing. Like, you go, like, oh, someone's having a Super Bowl party. So, like, I don't enjoy the Super Bowl, but if nothing else is going on, what am I going to do? I'll go. You know, there'll be chips and food and soda. You know, and maybe your friends are there. I mean, what's the alternative? Sit home? Or maybe go see The Pianist, which I did one year, and everyone made fun of me. But I've been to, like, a couple MMA parties, and, like, I'm not into boxing, nothing. But for some reason, I kind of... MMA's all right. It's kind of fucking, it's kind of exciting, not exciting, but it's just like, I can watch it. It moves enough, and it's fucking brutal, and it's, I don't know, I dig it. I wouldn't go and buy it myself, but if someone's having, like, Dude Bogues had the Ronda Rousey fight on a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't like, oh my God, I have to see it, but I'm like, yeah, I'll go check it out. It wasn't anything else going on, and, like, it was pretty good. I mean, it was a pretty good fucking fight. I couldn't believe, like, I don't know. I don't know shit about her except that she's a terrible actor and she was in an Entourage movie and she stunk and she's not hot. I don't know why so many fucking guys are attracted. She looks like a fucking dude. I say Ronda Rousey looks like a dude in a fucking blousey. Ow! But she's supposed to be this, like, she's like the Mike Tyson of, like, female MMA. I mean, she's like a superstar and all this shit and, like, she's like the fucking second coming of Christ, fucking practically how people talk about her. And she fights at fucking, was it Heather Holm? What was her name? Holm? And, like, I don't know shit about MMA, but I'm watching it. And, like, one fucking punch to Ronda Rousey. And, like, she hit her once in the face and, like, lit her up like a Christmas tree. Like, end of round one, her fucking, it looked like she was in a cherry pie eating contest. Like, it was all red and, like, blotchy. And, like, the whole bottom half of her face has turned fucking giant red. I was like, what the fuck? Like, she barely hit her. She's showing that much goddamn damage? And, like, yeah, she got her ass kicked. I couldn't fucking believe it. But, I've never been to a live fight or anything. I've certainly never been this fucking close to this shit. And, like, it was fucking incredible. I mean, I can't believe the fucking beating these guys. It was really fucking surreal. It was really, like, visceral. I was right there, dude. I mean, like, there was a one time this fucking dude ran and smashed the guy. We were in, like, the back of the ring. Right behind the judges. Like, I could have fucking, like, put gum in the judge's hair and shit. The judge table. And the guy ran and smashed the dude's fucking face against the fence. And he just looked right at me. He's staring right at me, just like, help me and shit. I was like, well, this is fucked up, man. Like, they're just two guys beating the shit out of each other. You know what was even weirder? They'd be palling around before the fight. And, you know, they go in the ring and they kind of hug and shake hands. It's like, okay, well, let's beat the fucking shit out of each other now. I'm like, that's so weird. That's so weird how that works. Like, they're just totally cool. Literally, from one second to the next, they're trying to end each other's lives. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And, these fucking guys, I mean, they'd lock up, and, like, the fucking beating these people take. And most of the time, no one's nose got broke. There was no, like, blood. But, I mean, they would get the guy locked down with the fucking, with their, like, forearm against the dude's neck on the ground. And with their other hand, just bash their face in. I mean, punch him in the face. The guy has no protection or guard on his face whatsoever. And this fucking guy is just bashing him in the face with all his might. And I'm like, how is your nose not just fucking shattered and blood gushing everywhere? I don't know how that didn't happen, because I saw that happen about four times. And most of the time, people got up. And they did have a little bruise or something. But, like, they were fine in general. Like, no one's lip got busted open. I'm like, how can you take direct hits to the face? This motherfucker's, like, 250 pounds. It was really fucking incredible. But, I mean, these guys would get picked up, and it was so, like, I'm glad I didn't have to be an audio guy, because you can't not go, oh, and shit. Like, you can't not, like, they'd fucking pick the guy up, like, they'd be in a move where they'd be on the ground, let's say, okay? And the guy that's on the bottom would, like, latch on to the dude that's on top of him and wrap his legs around the guy's waist and his hands around his head. So the guy's picking him up like he's a baby fucking chimpanzee would hang on you. And the guy would pick that guy off the floor and you see it coming and then pick him up and slam him fucking down with all of his weight. I'm like, how does that not break the, and you're just like, oh, like everyone fucking yell. You just can't not like, you can't not like fucking like feel it, you know? And then just right on his fucking head. I'm like, how is your neck not? And that would happen 2-3 times in a fucking match. These guys would just pummel the fucking shit out of each other. And then there was this one black. There was three that were really. There were so many fights. It was ridiculous. I mean, there was like fucking 12 or some shit, which there's usually not this many. But there was three that I really liked. They're almost like right in a row. There was this one where this fucking guy. Most of them were like lightweight. I won't spend too much time talking about this. Most of them, they started out, they got higher in weight classes as the fights went on. Weight class and experience. And there is this fucking one. This guy came out like, I'm a huge Warrior fan. I mean, he came out like Tom Hardy and Warrior, like fucking Tommy Rearer, and beat the shit out of this. I mean, he fucking pounded this guy and took him down immediately and just beat the shit out of this guy. I mean, the guy couldn't even get his guard up. And he's on top of him, just wailing on his... And this dude was in super good shape. I mean, he was fucking like... he looked like Chris Evans. So, like, he's no slut. This dude's, like, tight. So he really has, like, knows how to focus all his body weight into punching. And he's wailing on this guy. For the whole first round, this dude got his ass kicked. I couldn't fucking believe this guy made it. He gets it out of the first round. Somehow he came back and beat the other guy. I mean, I don't know how the fuck you take a savaging like that and then come back and win. I couldn't fucking believe it. It was like the coolest thing I ever saw, or at least saw in a long time. I was like, wow, I can't believe that guy won. And like, both of them were like pretty, I mean, these guys were really beating on each other. And like, they were both like pretty much fine. The guy had kind of like a puffy eye and like his hair was messed up. Like, you know, they had some like lumps and shit, but they weren't like, they were walking around completely coherent. The most brutal one was these two. I saw, it was the only chick fight of the whole night. I mean, it was a big card. You know, there's probably fucking 40 fighters or something. And we were watching these chicks backstage. They were little and they were just like, they looked like they fucking meant business. They were like Mexican chicks with like cornrows. They looked like fucking prisoners. And they're both like, they just look pissed. They just had like, they're both like Mexican or whatever, but they look like fucking dogs. They just had like those fucking faces, you know? I'm like, wow, this is going to be something. And these chicks were like, and Nate's kind of like, because he was telling us what to, he finally showed up and he's telling us what to shoot. And he's like a real, and I guess he's that's how he got his made his bones. He started shooting, covering MMA stuff and shooting it and doing documentaries and stuff. But he knows all about, he did some sparring and he knows about fighting. And these chicks, it was the most brutal fight of the whole thing. They would throw like left, right combos, like two in a row. It'd be like, bam, 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 like double tap the girl's face. And every punch landed, like, completely fucking fully. It wasn't like she threw it and kind of nicked her. They were bashing each other in the face. And it was just fucking, they were pretty fucked up. They had super, like, black eyes, puffy, their faces were all fucked up. But these chicks were fucking brutal. And they were just, and he's like, well, the girls don't know how to fight. They don't know how to move their fucking head. Like, they're too concentrated. And they just kind of let themselves get hit. And it's like a war of attrition shit. Like, you hope you hit the other girl more than she hits you. Like, they don't know how to stick and move like guys. They don't know how to roll with punches. And he's like, and then if you notice them, I mean, I don't know. I thought this was interesting because I don't know anything about it. He's like, if you watch them, they don't put their hip into it enough. They don't know how to use, like, they don't pivot with their foot. Like, they don't know how to, like, really extend their arm. So it looks like they're really beating the shit out of each other. But, like, they're not, you know, the punches aren't as bad as they look. So they can take a lot more punishment, I guess it makes sense. But fuck, were they wailing on each other. Anyway, so it was pretty fucking, that was an experience to be that close. I can't believe those motherfuckers go through. I'm like, how many of these fights do you do a year, dude? Because this would fucking end me. Like, holy shit, I can't believe it. Now, the whole point of this thing was, like I said, Nate had some shit in his pocket. So I'm hoping he's going to talk to us about things. At one point, we're standing on the stage, and he's talking about, I started asking him about, because Carolla's got a bunch of documentaries and post and fucking pre-pro, all kinds of shit. There's all kinds of stuff in the pipeline for him. So he's like, what's the script? I know you sent me a little thing. I haven't read the treatment or anything. He's like, what's your script about? I'm like, oh, fuck, here it comes. I'm like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a dramedy. It's kind of like an Apatow vibe to it. It's sort of like, I gave him like a real quick, you know, the simplest breakdown possible. And I'm like, it's basically like Funny People meets like Finding Forrester. Remember that movie? He's like, yeah, okay. Because it's not a horror movie. So he talked to this stems into this ball of confusion. Because this guy, again, I'll say it again, this guy is so busy, he can't keep up. He's got 9 million things going on at all times. So he doesn't have time to focus on stupid us from the pew. So somehow or another, him and Dude Bogues talked about when he was in there editing that fucking spot, about some horror movie that Bokes did and shot or something. So somehow or another, it just got muddled into this mess that Nate thought that I had written a horror movie and that we were like already, we were like gonna make it anyways or something. And I was like, well, he's like, oh, it's not a horror movie? I'm like, no, I didn't realize till later when we were talking that he had it all fucking confused. Well, he didn't seem thrilled about the idea of my fucking stupid dramedy. Which I'm 3/4 done with writing this thing. I'm like, okay. So he's like, well, he's like, listen, afterwards, he's like, let's go to fucking Yard House and I'll take you, if you're helping me out, I'll take you guys, we'll fucking eat and get drinks and hang out. So I'm like, this, okay, dude, he's gonna talk to us about shit. This is gonna be it. This is like the lunch, because he told us last week after the commercial, he's like, let's meet up in the next couple weeks and do lunch. This is the first time a real producer that's made things and like is a guy that does shit with money told us this. We're like, wow, this is fucking, you know, this is going to happen. So I'm thinking this is going to be the lunch. So we fucking wrap up the fight and we go to, we go down to fucking Yard House and, he starts telling us what he has in the pipeline, and it's like, there's no way he's going to have time. Like, Adam has like two more documentaries in pre-production, and fucking one's going into production. It's a K-Rock documentary, and he's got one in post that's still got pickup. The guy's got like four projects going, and then he's going to make some fucking feature. Oh no, he's got to shoot some like big like comedy show Adam's going to do in January, like a live show. It's going to be like a fucking live concert thing. The guy's way too busy for us. I within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, well, we're fucked. He's not going to do nothing with us. He didn't ask us anything else about. Oh, no, he's like, you know, I don't, we're in such a weird niche of what me and Dude Bogues are doing. And we kind of don't really know what we're doing. We're doing what we like and hoping this turns into something that we can make money off of or, you know, make a living fucking doing in some capacity. He's like, so what do you guys want to do with the Fun Your Die page? He's like, what's going on with that Tom Arnold video? And I was like, it's on the front page of Fun Your Die, and it's got about 25,000 views, and it's on the girl's YouTube, and she's got about 50,000, so, you know, 85,000. He goes, what are you guys doing with it? I'm like, watching it? Telling people to watch it? Like, what? I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that. Like, what do you mean, what are we doing with it? Am I supposed to be taking around to networks and being like, you want to air our 6-minute fucking Tom Arnold? I didn't know how to answer that. So I guess I did it as honestly as I could. But that was kind of it. That was like all we broached the whole time. So I'm like, well, it doesn't look like this is going to happen. But now here's the thing. Now, I was bummed, but here's the thing about this guy. He knows a fuck ton of people, and he's always got shit cooking with everybody. So it's possible someone else could be like, I'm looking for a script, like, or looking for something like what we do, and he would steer us, because he really likes us. And like, we fucking helped him out. And like, he's a pretty, even though I was told by certain people that know him that he's a cheap bastard, which he is, because he didn't pay us for that commercial or whatever, or appears to be. But like, Adam doesn't have a fucking ton of money either. And he's not like a big time producer. These are all self-financed. And you know, he's got the fucking, he obviously makes good money, but he doesn't have like, you know, he's not a fucking billionaire and shit where he can fund like massive, you know, projects with huge budgets and shit like that. Where was I going with this? You're saying, what are you saying? I'm not talking about a damn guarantee. What the, I'm fucking about my Fargo dialogue. But, yeah, so I was bummed, but I'm like, I don't think it's still not impossible. I'm still, you know, I could get a call or something from him any day. It just could be anyone hitting him up, because he knows a lot of people. But that wasn't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to talk, you know, definite projects that he wanted us to do, and we didn't get that. So now, you know, like I've been saying, I've been mentioning, and that there's something might have been in the works, but it looks like it's not. But I covered my ass. I was like, it'll probably turn into nothing. It probably did, but he's a good guy to know, and I've stayed in touch with him for like 2 years now. He hasn't forgotten about me, so like, something will happen eventually. It's not a complete loss, but it's not set in fucking stone either, which is a bummer. Yeah, that's how that went. So that was interesting, but like, so basically we did another whole day of work for free, and Didn't really get out of it and what we wanted to. But I don't know. I like hanging out with him. He's a fucking interesting guy. The best part about because I'm a fan of the show, the best part of hanging out with any of these, the Corolla employees, is listening to everyone complain about Adam and tell all the fucking stories. Shit. He just seems like a very hard guy to work for. But they all say the same thing. They hear like, he's a pain in the ass, but he's not dumb. And most of the stuff that he's a stickler about it is at least like sensical. It's just so much more than would, it's just so nitpicky more than normal people would. Like, the things that bother him are just things that wouldn't bother most people, but you got to put up with it because it's him. But most of it's still like, it's not like, oh, I don't want you to wear a yellow shirt. It's nothing like that. It's just, he's just a pain. And I was like, I'm telling him about, so Nate gave a couple, just, he's like, because he's such a calm guy. He's such a like you know, he's not like me. He's not wound up. He's just like a real, like, yeah, man, like real cool. And but he, like, even he gets rattled by Adam sometimes, and was telling some of the shit he does. And you know, to cover my ass. I'm not going to mention anyone else's name, but I'm like, yeah, I've heard other Corolla employees complaining about him too. And I was like, I hear all these stories, and I'm, and Nate's like, well, what do you want to, do you want to work for the production side, or do you want to work for the radio side? I'm like, I fucking love both, dude. I would take either. I really do. I'd love to work for you, or I'd love to work for the fucking, honestly, I'd rather do the actual audio. I'd rather work on the actual show than like the movie end of his fucking empire. But, I would really take either. And I'm like, I hear all these stories about the guy, and I'm like, I don't know why the fuck I'd want to work for him. He goes, I don't know why you would either. He goes, honestly. He's like, you sure you want to do this? And I was like, there's a lot of other, I'm aware that he's a pain in the ass, and I know I'm going to end up working there. I absolutely will end up working for this fucking guy. I'm like ever inching ever fucking closer. It's going to happen because I fucking really want it to, but I know the guy. I've listened to the fucking show for 10 years. I know how things go, but like, I just like the ethos of it. It's just the guy owns his own fucking empire. It's just all self. You know, it's just a fucking pirate ship. I love that. He doesn't have to answer to nobody. That's why I was telling him. I was like, well, have you heard these rumors that Adam's supposed to go to New York and take over for Howard? He's like, they've offered that to him before, and he's passed on it. And he said his fucking agent, Baby Doll, is really pissed off. He's like, Baby Doll was fucking furious because it was a lot of money. But he's like, he doesn't want to have to go and answer to people. He doesn't want to have to do the he wants to do the show whatever fucking time he wants. He doesn't want to be told what guests or what he can't talk about. He's like, the guy's got too much fucking freedom, and he's like, I think that's worth more to him than money. He's like, you got to respect that. That's fucking, you know, I think that's cool. You don't hear a lot of that. That's some old school shit. You don't hear fucking people rolling like that much anymore. But that took way too long to tell a story, and I probably had way too many details. I apologize. I was trying to pad this out a little bit because I'm doing this. Usually I got more time to get a show together, but this one I'm having to do early because I usually don't do this until Wednesday night, and it's Monday. So I was hoping I'd have enough to cover me. But look at this. We're already at a fucking hour and 10 minutes, everybody. You know, I was complaining about podcasts. You know, I was complaining about podcasts last week. I couldn't find any. You know, I'm a little bit picky with them, but most of them suck, and the sound quality's not good either. But I, a guy, Jay Cannon, who hosts the mic at, I'll go through this really quick, over at Flappers. I've seen him a bunch of times, but he hosts a podcast called Things I Hate About You. And it's him, like, it's good audio quality, and it's him interviewing open mic comics. Most of the guys, you know, that I see every week. And so I know who a lot of these guys are. And he tells them things most of them are like his friends, but he tells them things he hates about them. And then also, like, a couple days before the show on his Facebook page, he'll be like, tell me things you hate about so-and-so. And then he'll make the guy read them on the air and then fucking address them. And it's pretty, like, it's pretty goddamn antagonistic. He really, it's almost too much because he's a good interviewer, but he goes too far out of his way to try to piss these guys off or try to fuck with them, like, too much. Like, he's got the dial. I liked it. In short, I like it a lot. It was a good idea. And, he's off the cuff funny. And it's like, I like podcasts like that where it's just two people bullshitting, but he's actually good at it. And most of the, I heard, like, I listened to about fucking 4 hours of it today. We've crossed off a couple different comics, but he pushes buttons too much, and I'm like, I wish he wouldn't do that, because he does it enough, and then he goes over the line, and it's like, all right, now you're just trying to fuck with him, or you're just being argumentative just for the sake of, I fucking hate that. It's some, like, keep the teeth kind of shit. But I liked it, man. Things I Hate About You, I hope maybe I can get on it, because I kind of know him, and I don't know, it'd be fun. But I didn't know that fucking Josh Denny, who plays the priest in the Tom Arnold skit, comic, he started doing one this year called March of the Pigs, his own podcast, and I only heard one episode, and it was actually the one from the day after he did the Tom Arnold shoot, and his ribs were all when he did that fall, I guess he, like, cracked his ribs, but, like, I thought he was full of shit, but, like, you can hear his, like, labored voice, and he can't cough and shit, like, because he did, like, an hour long, like mine, it was, like, an hour and some change show, you know, by himself, but you could hear that he was hurt. I think he really did fuck his ribs, though. I just kind of was like, he's just being a crybaby because he's like a fat guy and he fell, but I think he was in real pain. But I don't know, he gave us a nice shout out. He's like, oh, check out Weird Fellas, and they're good, and I don't know, it was decent. March of the Pigs, if you're looking for shit, check those fucking two out. I was glad, because I had shit to listen to all fucking day today. I'm just fucking just rambling now. I'm just running off at the fucking mouth. I was going to tell a bunch of stories about I'll wait till fucking next time. I think I covered everything. Yeah, maybe you guys heard just about a goddamn enough out of me. I'm going to go down to the gym. I need to find more music, too. This is fucking killing me. Because all I do is listen to fucking podcasts and talk radio. And it's hard for me to find fucking new music. And it's hard. I can't work out without the music. But, like, I spend all my time listening to shit. And I can't find music. Because I just don't care that much about it anymore. It's weird. I hate that. I want to, like, fucking... I don't like stuff more. It's just so, I'm so goddamn picky. So I don't know if you know any bitchin' rock, or you even know one good song that you really like, unless it's like classic rock or country or rancheros. I don't know. Let the old Lukester know, because I'm trying, you know, trying to find. What am I doing? The fuck am I? I'm not crazy about this episode. It could have been funnier. I think it could have been more entertaining. It was a little bit too more. It was a little bit too much point by point. You know what I mean? It was too workmanlike, I feel like. It wasn't loosey. I wasn't able to interject enough and be, I don't know, improv-y? I don't fucking know. Anyways, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much. You know, good luck with that wishbone. I hope you win when you break it. And eat your turkey and your stuffing and your potatoes. But I'll be at my dumb mom's and I'll have a... I love my mom. Sorry, I'm my dumb moms, but it's not an exciting place to go. So I'll have a whole stupid wrap up next week, and maybe I'll hear some stories from you guys about your wacky holiday. Go fuck yourself. Sorry. No, I don't want to end like that. I'm not gonna say go fuck yourself. Have a good Thanksgiving. Have a good Thanksgiving. God damn it.
Hey, hey, mom, it's the way you move. Gonna make you sweat. Gonna make you grow. Shake that thing, gonna make you burn, gonna make you stay. Me and baby, when you walk that way, watch your run a trip, can't keep away. Lies, but we'll happen now.